I appreciate you being here today in God's house. Appreciate your prayers for Sherry and I and what God is doing in our life. We need to pray for our country. We are living in some serious days. We are living in some days that we could call a biblical proportion. One of the individuals of Ukraine this week called what they see going on over there the apocalypse. There's some very serious issues in our world today. If I had the time today, I would probably talk about some of those things that we see and weigh it against the Word of God. That's not really what I've studied for this morning, but I just want to simply say this, that in the middle of the difficulties of the day, Jesus is still on the throne. That He came and He just came to set the captive free. And we'll get into some of that in a little bit. I just simply want to talk to you today out of the book of John, chapter number 8. If you're a attendee here today, a guest with us, and you have not been here before or not many times, I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your time with us. And thank you for putting your confidence in the ministry of the Thomasville Church of God. I'm convinced today that God has more for you. I'm convinced today that God has more for me. Sometimes we don't know what that looks like. Sometimes we don't even know how to describe that. But as we preached on Wednesday night, we get to this place in life. Somehow we are surrounded by all the negative conversations of the day and the hour. Somehow or another we forget who we are. Somehow we forget about the fact that Jesus died on the cross to make you and I free. Now, when you look into the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 31, I want to read down several verses of Scripture to you. And we start in 31, and it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, you've got to see who Jesus was talking to. Jesus was talking to the Jews of that day, which again based everything on the rule of law of that day. They had not as of yet received Him as the Son of God, the Messiah. There was much debate even in that day and that hour who Jesus even was. Some folks thought He was a lunatic. There was others in this context, in this text, that even accused Him of being a liar. But yet we know from our standpoint, looking back to the cross, as the Bible says, never a man spake like this man. Jesus used a great analogy in the other parts of the book of John to show them one of the most liberating powers that He could give to any human being at that time. I'm just going to paraphrase and walk you through it. When Jesus came in context or in contact with this particular individual, there was men, no doubt in my mind, that had her by the arms. There was no doubt those that was being brutish. There was those that maybe even had her arms twisted behind her back. I don't know. But they brought to Jesus this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. One of the most or worst sins of the day, if you will. So much that the law even says that the woman had to be condemned and she had to be stoned with stones. Even the men that was caught with her had to be stoned with stones and put to death. Jesus there at this situation with this woman, as the Pharisee and those came there tempting Jesus to say, what are you going to do about this? The most hideous sin of the day was found in this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. You look around today and adultery is still a no-no. Come on, somebody. Fornication is still a no-no. Homosexuality is still a no-no. All of those sexual sins that are prevalent in our day and in our hour, we would look at them and we would look at them through eyes of condemnation, through eyes that would say, stone them. But yet we see Jesus looking at this woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, and Jesus, again, confronting these men, Jesus stooped down and wrote something on the ground, whatever he wrote there. But yet we see that whatever it was, one by one, we see these men leaving. I preached this about 2 or 3 months ago. We see these men leaving, and no one but Jesus standing in the midst with this woman that had been taken in the very act of adultery. Now, you and I, we think about us today, and I dare say that you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope not, but I would assume that nobody in this room is involved in an adulterous situation. I would think not. But even if you are, there's freedom for you today. Even if you found yourself in this room today in a situation where your life has been engulfed with sin, there's freedom. The Bible teaches me where Jesus was talking and Jesus was saying that they that are whole need not a physician. But Jesus came, and again, I'll get to it hopefully after a while, but Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came to die for those that were plagued in life by this thing called sin. I don't know about you, and somebody says, well, are you going to preach about sin again this morning? All I got is a sketchy outline in my heart. But you know what? I'm so grateful today. Yes, I was saved at a young age. Yes, I've been preaching a few years, and I look back on it, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again today. I don't want to be saved so long that I forget about what it felt like to be a sinner. I look back at my own life, and I look back at the things that God has done for me, and I couldn't help but to think about this song that He set me free. And I would come by long enough this morning to ask you that very simple question, that if you at one time were in sin and you were on your way to a devil's hell, but thank God today that Jesus came, and Jesus came with healing in His wings, and Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the fact of the matter is that He is not giving up on you. You might have given up on yourself. You might think there's no hope for you, but may I tell you today that there is still a bleeding side of Calvary that is bleeding for every man, woman, boy, and girl that'll call upon the name of the Lord. For the Bible said that whosoever will, let them call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. One of the greatest things I saw when I read through this text, trying to get to the main part of where I'm going this morning, Jesus is not going to condone sin. Every man shall give an account of the things that he does in the body and the deeds and the things that he does. Listen, I'm just preaching what's in my heart today. I don't know always understand God's mercy. Living in a world today that wants to stomp you. Living in a world today that wants to keep you suppressed. Living in a world today that wants to hold you back and hold you down and always remembering the condition that you've always been in. We don't understand that. I don't understand the mercy of God. I don't understand sometimes how that God can be so merciful to our world and God can be so merciful to people that hung Him on the cross. And I don't understand how that God can take somebody like me or somebody like you or a has-been or a used-to-be or a should-have-been, and the Lord God can come into your heart and God can change you and God can make you into a brand new creature, a brand new creation in Him. I don't always understand that. Somebody says, well, if you understand it, you would be God. And I'm not God today. I'm just simply here long enough to tell you today, if you're in this room or listening to me online, wherever you might find yourself, again, you may disagree with me, but it's how I feel in my heart today. You've not gone too far. You've not done too much that God cannot still turn your life around. And you, my friend, can find the freedom that's only in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God. I want to tell you today that He can still set the captive free. I don't know what you're bound with. I don't know what you're tangled up with. I don't know what you're going through. But if you'll throw yourself before the mercy of God and you'll fall at the cross and at the foot of the cross, I promise you that God will run to your side. He will be there for you. I hear the Holy Ghost say, tell somebody that He's not against them, that He's for them if they'll come to Him. Come before God for His great mercy today. Freedom. 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 I don't know, but I hear that ringing in my heart today. Freedom is a priceless thing. It's a costly thing. If I had time, I could go into it, and I'm not going to take the time, just like Ukraine, trying to get free from the attack of the Russians. And I thought about Pharaoh and the children of Israel, how the children of Israel had to try to go and how the children of Israel had to try to go and get free from the bondages of Pharaoh. I'm telling you, my friend, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. How many of you believe that today? God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to stop and pray right now for Mark, John, Steve's brother. He's in the foyer. The rescue squad's coming. We need to continue to have church. We just need to pray for Mark. He's in the foyer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. We honor You and we thank You, God. I thank You, God, that You're the sovereign God. You're the freedom God. Lord, I pray with Mark. I pray for his liver. I pray, God, for his gallbladder. I pray, God, that this situation that he's been dealing with for so long be resolved. Lord, work a miracle. Father, I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that God, that You, Lord God, would work it out right now. Touch Steve and Penny. Touch this family, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're believing God for Mark today. One of the things I thought about when I read this and I breezed through it again to get to where I'm wanting to go here after a while. I love this. I love this. And I didn't even study this part of this message. I just breezed through it because I wasn't going to get stuck there. But I feel like that God is telling me today, but it's for somebody. It's for somebody. Kathy, go to Romans 8:1. This is not what I studied, but it's in my heart. I love this. The freedom that Jesus brings. I don't know about you, but my mind can only reflect on what I know. My mind can only reflect upon what I've experienced. Again, I was a young man. I understand that. It's been a long time ago. Over 40 years ago when I got saved. I know I don't look 40, but it was a few years ago. Barney, when you go to the altar, Brother Wes, and you're burdened down with life, you feel like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulder. Oh, you're here today. I heard the Holy Ghost tell me that. Somebody's sitting here today, and I just described you. You can be free today. I walked into that little church in Clyde with the weight of the world on my shoulder, not understanding anything, Shelby, about salvation. I didn't know what salvation was. I'd heard about Jesus. I'd heard the Sunday school. I remember Aline Woodard gathering all the little kids around her little Sunday school table and singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." But I had never had an encounter with Him for myself. But that Sunday morning, I reflect back in my own heart today when I was invited to an altar of prayer, and I made my way to an altar of prayer, and I looked into my own heart, and I said in my own mouth, I said, "Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Save me." I didn't know, Brother Russell, what that meant. I didn't know what the rest of my life meant when I knelt there that day and said, "Jesus, save me." I really didn't know, Miss Betty, what it meant to be, quote unquote, a sinner saved by grace. I didn't understand that. Didn't understand nothing theologically. Didn't understand anything in the Bible at all. But thank God I didn't have to. Thank God all I had to do was get real with God and say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I don't know who you are. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But I believe that somebody in this room right now, your heart is breaking. And if you just say, "Jesus, save me, change my life, turn my life around." You say, "Well, preacher, everybody in this room is a Christian." Well, hallelujah. I'm not talking to everybody in the room. I'm throwing out the lifeline to an individual today that may be in this room. You know good and well in your own heart you're not saved. You're not ready to go to heaven. If the rapture took place right now, you played church. You put on a good mask. But today's the day that you really want to get right with God. Today's the day that you really want to get your heart right with God. Because God sent me by here and changed this whole message. And He changed it for one. One. And you may say, "Well, my sin's too deep. I've went too far. I'm nothing but gross in the sight of God." Let me tell you something, friend. God can save you. God can turn your life around. God can take an old black heart filled with sin, wash it in red blood, and turn your life around. Jesus looked at this woman at the well, and I'll get into that one, don't go back. But Jesus looked at this woman at the well, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And He looked at her and He came and He told her. These are liberating words. These are miraculous words. These are glorious words. These are words of freedom. When Jesus looked at her, go ahead, Kathy, put that one back and then we'll flip back to that one. There in the book of John 8 in verse number 11. Jesus came and said to this woman, "Where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" They walked away. They couldn't throw stones at her. I love these liberating words of verse number 11. She said to Jesus, "They're not here, they're gone. Mine accusers have left." I just thought about something. Isn't it awesome? When we get to the place in our life and our freedom in Jesus, that there's nobody that can detest, and nobody can stand and accuse you falsely. They left. And Jesus said in the Word, when you look at this, Jesus said in the Word, He said, Jesus said unto her, and I love this, neither, now that's liberating, neither do I. Where at one time we fell under the condemnation of the hand of God and the judgment of God. And we knew if we were to die that our heart wasn't right with God. And that we knew that judgment lieth at our door. But just like a bird in freedom, I dwell. He set me free. He, Jesus, set me free. It's amazing today in the world of psychology, in the world of all the ologies that goes on, how that physiologically we are physical persons. We try to treat with a remedy of a spiritual problem with psychology. And we try to reason away what really needs to happen. Oh. I don't know if y'all feel what I feel, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. I know I'm jumping a little bit. But that other woman that Jesus found at the well, she left her water pots. She left her former life. She left what she thought was the reason for her encounter with Him. And then she went and she told the whole city, look at this man. Look what this man's done. Come see a man. Woo! Come see a man. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody can do me like my Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you went through this week. But when you have an encounter with God, psychology is not going to work. I believe in reasoning. I believe in teaching. I believe in all the good things and the helps that we have to help us to become motivated and self-help and become a better person. But you throw all of that in a basket. At the end of the day, we've still got to have Jesus. Jason Crabb sings that song, ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like my Lord. Again, this has just mesmerized my mind today, and I don't know what it's doing to you, but I know what it's doing to me, because he says, neither do I. I don't know, it's just flipping in me right now. In other words, Jesus ain't going to condemn you. Why? Because that's not who he is. The Jews and all the people of that time, they tried to trip Jesus up and see what Jesus was going to do. I hear an old song in my spirit right now, and I don't know all the words to it. I'd have to get Hannah up here to sing it. But the words of that old song that resonates in my heart and my spirit today, it says, I'm redeemed by love divine. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. Neither do I condemn thee. We're going to flip back and forth a minute, Kathy. Go back into Romans 1. Romans 1, again, Paul was preaching this message to those that are Rome, and he was trying to get them to understand that when somebody has an encounter with God, when somebody's life is changed. And may I submit unto you today that Jesus changed her life. Jesus, if you're saved today, Jesus Christ Himself changed your life. I even thought about this. Having a religious experience for the sake of a religious experience is not salvation. That is a religious experience. You can be baptized, and your heart can still be rotten. I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. You can not be an adulterer or an adulteress. You cannot be a homosexual. You can not be an alcoholic. You cannot be all the things that we would classify as gross sins and still be lost. There's a lot of good moral people in our society today. But being moral by itself is not salvation. Salvation is when you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Our Sunday school classes with our children have been learning Romans Road scriptures that says, if I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's an action required on your behalf. You've got to repent of your sins. I mentioned it Wednesday night. If you will repent, then times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is required unto salvation. And again, other scriptures that I could put in there. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's His grace. But in this, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if I had time, I don't have time right now, I would go and I would take you down a journey of John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. Maybe we'll do it another time. But you got to be connected to the vine. Coming to church, putting on a suit and a tie and a smiley face by itself, or period, is not salvation. You've got to have that encounter with Jesus. You've got to have that encounter. And Paul was saying that. And he says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there is a difference. Those that walk in the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. Those that walk in the flesh do the things of the flesh. That's very easy to discern. So going back to the scripture of John 8 and 11. And this is one of those imperative moments in this message because salvation is more than turning over a new leaf. It's more than just thinking in your mind, well, I think I'm going to quit doing such a thing and quit doing this. I think I'm going to just try to change my life a little bit. I think I'm going to quit smoking cigars. That's eradicated. It's more than just making a mental decision that you're going to quit doing certain things. It's a change of your heart. Jesus wants to transform your heart. He mentions that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. We've hit this verse so many times lately. Can't tell you how many times I've hit it. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But in our text, again in verse number 11, and then I want to do one more scripture, and then I think I'm done. Because I didn't even preach what I brought in here today. I preached what God brought in here, though. Notice what Jesus told this woman. And I like this. Jesus said, I'm not going to condemn you. I've taken your sins and I've cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. But I believe, now this is greenology. Flora's not here, so I'll have to pick on Annette. She is here in spirit, though. I used to pick on Flora all the time, and I'd say greenology, and she'd just grin. Jesus looked at her in her state and her condition. And this is what Jesus said, and I love it. Hey, you got a new life now. You came here sleeping around. You came here with five or six, but I'm telling you to leave here free. Sometimes we've got to make decisions to walk away from the sins of our past. We got to make a clean cut. Somebody says, well, I'll lose all my friends. They're not your friends. They're users. They're not your friends. Somebody that don't have you at heart and intends nothing but evil against you, they're not your friend. They'll never be your friend. That's why these kids today talk about peer pressure. Talk about peer pressure at school and peer pressure in environments. Maybe my peer pressure is not being like your peer pressure. Are y'all okay? I remember sitting in a group of a bunch of individuals in the middle of the summer passing around a bottle of tequila. I remember that. And they handed it to the next and into the next and into the next, and they were laughing and cutting up and saying, get the worm, get the worm. I didn't even know what a worm was. I mean, we used to pick up nut crawlers in the mountains to go fishing with. I thought, get the worm, what are you talking about? Get the worm. There's a worm in the bottom of the tequila. Oh, get the, okay. Yeah, that really happened. And they handed it to me and they handed it to all the people. And I picked up that bottle of tequila and getting ready to take a drink of it. Janice, I didn't even know the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost knew me. I didn't know His voice, but somehow God enabled me to hear this. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, Dixie, and said these exact words. Is this what you want to be the rest of your life? And that was when I was about 17 years old. And that was about 41 years ago. 42 years ago. Guess what? I didn't drink the tequila. I got up. I walked away. And I know some of the people that's still in that group scattered to and fro. And you don't even want me to go down that road right now. Because I've seen their life, Annette. One of them is a flop house. Now, you don't know what a flop house is. One of them is a drug house where they come and flop and do their drugs. She supplies. One of the other ones is still, Brother Bob, in a federal penitentiary in Florida for killing an 85-year-old woman and taking her Social Security check because of drugs. These are true stories. True events. Peer pressure. Just take a little toke. Just drink a beer. Just drink a little here. Just start doing little things. Little foxes spoil the vines. Just the little things. This is the way I feel. young men and young ladies in the wrong environment by themselves at the wrong time. The little things. And before long, 9 months later, it turns into a big thing. Amen. Is the preacher okay today? I'm not going to condemn you. But go and sin no more. God's gracious. God's merciful. God called that lady out of her sin into her freedom. People look at the church. They look down their nose at the church and they hold a position so many times that we are self-righteous and we have act like we're better than them. I'm no better than nobody else. But there's a lot of things in this life I don't participate in and I won't participate in. I came here today and I drank all the liquor I wanted to yesterday. Hello? But you know what? Brother Ron, I didn't drink any. Because when God saved me, He took the want to out of me. I don't know who. I don't know how I got in this track today. I studied a little bit of this, but it's not what I studied. If you go back into Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, or the Bible, you think, I've went too far, I've done too much. God can't love a sinner like me. God can't love somebody that's done what I've done. I've done too much, preacher, and I've really bloated. And hey, I bloated over and over and over and over and over again. Even as a saved man, I've not went out and done any hideous sins that I know of and done things that would... the world at large, I ain't robbed a bank and I ain't stole cars and I haven't done stuff. But you know what? Every person in this room, every person in this room, we still have a carnal nature. And all of us in this room, we still have to keep that old man in check, don't we? Come on, somebody, say amen. I asked Brother Cain before, 90 year old. I said, does the devil ever bother you, Brother Cain? 90, 91 year old. 2 months, he'll be 91 year old. The oldest male member that we've got as far as I know. I asked him one time, I said, the devil ever bother you? Yeah, he does. And I thought, well, how's this going to work? It's not about that. About being a child of God and knowing in my heart who Jesus is. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How does it work? It works like this. If you go back into Romans chapter number, in Isaiah chapter 1 and 18, the Bible says these amazing words. He says, Isaiah 1 and 18. I'm sorry, I'm confusing Kathy. Isaiah 1 and 18. He says, come now, let us reason. I knew where I was going with it, but he said, come now, the invitation. Again, Matthew says this in Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired of running? Are you tired of the condemnation? Are you tired of the weight on your back? Are you tired of just going through some type of motion spiritually, but yet your heart remains unchanged? Come now, let us reason together. Again, come and have this conversation with God. Come and have this conversation with God. As he says there in Isaiah 1 and 18, he says, let us talk about it. Come and sit at my feet. And he says this in the Word, let us reason together. Again, those are words that just jump off the page, and I know I'm way past time. Let's talk about it. Somehow or another, we've got this ideal of a dope no man sitting on the throne with a baseball bat, and you get close enough to him, he's going to beat you upside the head with a baseball bat. Somehow or another, we try to plant the fear of God. You better watch God. He's going to get you for that. To our kids. God will get you one of these days. Hello? Am I telling the truth? But we have a tendency to forget to tell people that God loves you way far more than you even realize it. And God is saying, come. 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 And I'm saying that as a pastor to whoever may be listening to me, and you know your heart ain't right with God, or you've been drifting and you've been away from God. God says, come. He wants to give you the freedom that you need today. Come. Let us reason together. Let's talk about it. Let me tell you my part. You can tell me your part, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Though your life be so infested with sin, but Jesus says, come. He's saying that now. Now, right now, come. And then he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. A black heart, away from God, doing your own thing. God's given the invitation to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Come. Come and see. Come and let me change your life. I can take an old black-hearted sinner and I can wash him in red blood. And you can leave free. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That to me is one of the most amazing things. You say, Pastor, I don't understand all of that. There's a lot of things in life I still don't understand. I don't understand oxygen. It's here in this room, but I gotta have it. Can't see it, but I gotta have it. I don't always understand Jesus. I may not always be able to feel or sense or know. But you got to have him. He's here in this room right now. I don't understand some things. You've heard me say it before. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and get white milk. But I'm not eating dry cereal because I don't understand it. I don't understand. Mitch can, or some of these guys, John. I don't understand how I can go back there and hit that switch and these lights come on. But I'm not going to sit around in the dark just because I don't understand the ins and outs of electricity. I just thank God I got it. Somebody said, well, I'll serve God when I understand God. Good for you. Because I ain't got it figured out yet. But he's given us his word that we might know him. Again, as you stand with me, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I wonder today who God sent me by to talk to. Maybe it was just one person in this room or watching online. I don't know. Probably not online. They've not been that many people on there that I know of. Would you bow your heads? Father, I did what I felt like you told me to do, to share the word on freedom. And we'll look back into it a little later. But God, if there be one here today whose life is not where it needs to be, Maybe, God, they're drifting. Maybe they're here in body, but spiritually speaking, they're away from you. Lord, these altars are open right now. If anybody wants to come and pray and fall at the mercy of the cross, fall at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. I used to hear old-timey preachers say, don't wait too late. Don't wait any longer. Today's the day of salvation. I would hear them say that. And the invitation would be given. And people would come and they would bow their knee at an altar of prayer. And they would have an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus would change their life for eternity. And that's my Jesus today. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do in this room and to every person under the sound of my voice. If I can have a couple of men come and pray with Josh, a couple of ladies pray with Jasmine. Anybody else as they come? Anyone else? Anyone else? These folks are saved that I know of and they love the Lord. But sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need the body of Christ to join in around us, to support us, and to love us. So, Father, I pray, God, today for Jasmine. Thank you, God, for that promise. Father, give Josh. Would you just slip that hand up today? Would you just slip that hand up today? Would you just tell the Lord Jesus that you love Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Thank you for redemption today. Thank you for saving grace today. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us in this room. Thank you for the freedom today. Oh, God, calling us out of bondage. Calling us out of darkness. Oh, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. My desire is that we walk in freedom. We walk in freedom today, spiritually speaking. It's not going to remove all the dilemmas of life, but it's going to give you a brand new perspective of life. 1 John 4:4, I believe it is, it says, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Amen. Everything okay, Steve? Mark okay? They've taken him to the hospital. Thank you for being here today. I've been asked to do something. And I have to change gears a little bit after these moments. But Dixie, they tell me it's your birthday tomorrow. Is that right? The 15th. And you'll be 58. They got that turned around too, didn't they? So I was asked to have the church to sing happy birthday to you. If you get 85, I'll sing to you too. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, we love you. Happy birthday to you. Hang on a minute. I knew I was going to start a firestorm here. When's Charlotte's birthday? The 11th. Darlene's was yesterday. Anybody got a birthday in March? Happy birthday to all of you. 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 God bless you and have a great day. I'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. If you lay out tonight, shame on you.